Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. Regardless if a patient is in a shockable or non-shockable rhythm, as we run a code, we should consider possible reversible causes of cardiac arrest. To make things a bit simpler to remember than a rote list, the reversible causes are frequently referred to as the H's and T's. Hypoxia is one of the simplest reversible causes of cardiac arrest to identify and treat, and is today's pass ACLS tip topic. Hypoxia is a state of low oxygen levels in the blood. Patients with an O2 sat less than 90% on an accurate pulse ox, or a PaO2 less than 80 millimeters of mercury, are hypoxic and should be started on oxygen. Sometimes as little as 2 to 4 liters nasal cannula is enough to make a noticeable difference. I know that today's review is about reversible causes to consider during cardiac arrest, but it should be emphasized that a goal of inpatient care is to recognize the signs of hypoxia and provide appropriate treatment to prevent an arrest. Let's say for now we have a patient who's coded. What are some of the things that may lead us to suspect hypoxia as a cause of their cardiac arrest, and what should we do about it? First, think of the patient's history, signs, and symptoms before the arrest. Is the patient asthmatic? Have COPD? CHF, or was trapped in a confined space? Was the patient on a pulse ox or known to be desatting? Those are just a few examples off the top of my head, and there are many more. A sure way to know if it's hypoxia is to get ABGs while ensuring uninterrupted, high-quality CPR. Pulse ox is not an effective method for measuring blood oxygen levels during a cardiac arrest, because their use relies on adequate circulation through a peripheral capillary bed. And that just doesn't happen even with the best CPR. Early in the code, we correct hypoxia by delivering our 2 breaths every 30 compressions with enough volume to make the chest gently rise and use at least 10 liters of supplemental O2 on our BVM with an O2 reservoir to deliver near 100% O2 concentration. If we're using end-tidal CO2 waveform capnography with our BVM, good CPR would be indicated with a peak wave of 10 millimeters of mercury or more. If the CPR coach, the team leader, or anyone on the code team notices that the waveform capnography is less than 10, they should speak up and provide some critical feedback to the person doing compressions. If it's been a while, changing compressors may be needed. Once the patient is intubated or another advanced airway such as an LMA or laryngeal tube is placed, we begin ventilating the patient once every 6 seconds with uninterrupted chest compressions and continue delivering 100% oxygen. If blood gases show low oxygenation of the blood, consider increasing ventilations to 12 breaths a minute by delivering 1 breath every 5 seconds. Small changes to the rate we ventilate, tidal volume, or O2 concentration can have significant effect on a patient's oxygen, carbon dioxide levels, and pH. For this reason, we should not ventilate a patient more than 12 times a minute without additional testing that confirms hypoxia or hypercarbia. We should avoid excessive ventilation, which can actually decrease the effectiveness of CPR by increasing interthoracic pressure, which compresses the vena cava and decreases return of blood to the heart. I hope that you found this review of hypoxia as a reversible cause of cardiac arrest helpful. If so, be sure to subscribe or follow in your listening app now so you don't miss upcoming episodes. And while you're there, consider leaving a 5-star review. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.